everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Each and every show, right from the get-go, we go inside the Beltway with Talk Radio News. Jeff Holtzman joins us now. I'm not going to hold it against him that he's a Redskin fan. Who cares about football? Because the NFL, they're in lockdown mode. You have players being... Exactly. You have players being arrested for saggy pants at the mall, Des Bryant, because they have nothing to do. It's crazy. But we do have a lot to do when it comes to the world of politics and how it affects many of you listening to us here on America Tonight. And Jeff, Libya, like I like to say, the president gives a speech, and still there are plenty of people on both sides of this, Democrats and Republicans, who weren't satisfied by what they heard. And even days later, people are still going to be talking about this. What have you heard on the Hill?
Well, I mean, the same. There are a lot of questions right now, and I think a lot of people are still unhappy despite the speech. And a lot of people feel as though questions remain, specifically about what our role is going to be there, how long we're going to be there, how much money it's going to cost us. And the list goes on and on and on. You talk about the question. And I think the president, you know, he gave the speech last night because he had to. He was being beaten up, you know, from the right and from the left for not communicating to the public, communicating to members of Congress what exactly the mission was going to be. And so the speech last night was sort of an obligation. But I think that it really left a lot of questions unanswered, as I mentioned before. And those questions continue to be unanswered. I mean, we know now that we've, you know, been in talks with so-called designated leader of the opposition forces in Libya. We don't really know exactly how long we're going to be there and in what capacity. And the president would have you believe that we're going to be there in some sort of a support role, but we don't exactly know what that means. And he also said last night that we're going to be handing off the lead role in this mission to NATO starting on Wednesday, although if you ask European nations, you know, that date might get pushed back a little bit. But the bottom line is that we control NATO. I mean, we contribute 22% of their budget. So it's kind of like we're handing off to ourselves.
Right, exactly. I mentioned that last night, that 22% really sticks out like a sore thumb. They're, absolutely. And it's the money. You know, talking about the money, and a lot of the Republicans are certainly saying that. They're talking about a bill that would stop the operations, basically, in Libya until Congress gets to act. That's still not completely out of the realm of possibility. There were two co-sponsors on that, even though the president, like you said, had to give that speech. The, already it's almost up to $600 million so far that's been spent. How crazy. There's concern about the money aspect too, right?
Well, no, I mean, there are estimates, and there are fair estimates right now that we spend as much as $550 or $600 million already. And that's just the first week alone. So when you put it in perspective, I mean, you know, Democrats and Republicans in Congress are talking about cutting $10 billion out of the current budget. We could approach that if we're in Libya for, you know, a couple months.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's certainly not a cheap exercise. And then there's also the question of whether we're going to have ground troops in. I mean, you know, the president has said in the past that our stated policy is for Gaddafi to leave, for him to be removed from power. Yet the UN resolution that authorized airstrikes is a humanitarian mission. It defines our mission as being, you know, not of regime change. So the president has to square that with his policy. I don't think he did that in his speech last night, and I think he's being beaten up fairly for it. But you talk about the cost, and it's certainly astronomical. It's certainly something to worry about, especially at a time with massive deficits and a debt that's, you know, reaching upwards of $14.1 trillion.
Yeah, speaking of deficits, what's going on with the budget battle? April 8th looms large, my friend.
It certainly does, and it's going to be here quicker than we can imagine. And, you know, the bottom line in Capitol Hill is when you give Congress a couple weeks to do something, they'll take a couple weeks to do it. And we thought that we had cover when Congress passed the three-week continuing resolution a couple weeks ago. And then, of course, they took the next week off. And now we're at a point where we have, you know, less than 2 weeks before the current CR runs out. And I don't think that the parties have really made any substantial progress. There are reports that Democrats and White House officials we're working on a proposal where they pass a budget for the remainder of the fiscal year that would cut $20 billion worth of spending. They say that that plan was flatly rejected by Republicans, and Democrats argue that's because of the Tea Party contingency in the House of Representatives. Republicans, meanwhile, say that Democrats have not put forth a substantial plan to cut spending, and therefore they're not coming to the table. Republicans would like Democrats to side with their proposal to cut $61 billion off the current budget. Yet I don't think that Democrats are going to go for that. So right now we're sort of a stalemate in budget talks. And like I said, we have less than 2 weeks to get something done. I predict that the lawmakers will probably work out another short-term agreement, and then we'll be kind of back to where we are now in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the same thing's going to happen. So that'd be seven times they pushed it forward. That's ridiculous. How about let's move on to energy and the Prez. This is a big one. What do you think happens here?
Well, you know, the president's going to give a big speech tomorrow at Georgetown University. He's going to lay out his energy strategy. And one of the things he's expected to talk about is this so-called clean energy standard. This is something that he alluded to in his State of the Union speech, and it's something that he's lobbied Congress to get to work on. There's, you know, we know that there's action in at least a few Senate committees on crafting some sort of proposal to meet the president's, you know, desire on this. At the same time, in the House, they're kind of taking the opposite route. Doc Hastings today, the chairman of the House Natural Resources Committee, introduced a bill that would expand oil offshore drilling in the U.S., not only in the Gulf of Mexico, but in areas off the coast of Alaska, as well as the East Coast. This is something that the president has been opposed to for at least the last year or so. The Hastings proposal would also loosen regulations put in place by President Obama's Interior Department over the last year or so since the BP oil spill occurred. So it looks like the two parties don't see eye to eye on the you know, energy reform. And, you know, with gas prices creeping up toward $4, obviously the rubber has to meet the road here. It'll be interesting to see what the president says in his speech tomorrow.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News, thanks so much for joining us from the get-go right here on America Tonight.
My pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
What's going to happen with this budget? We've got basically 10 days or so, 10 days really, until the budget deal is it's done. Once again, can we not somehow come up with the budget? It just seems so elementary to me. I realize what we're talking about, and I realize you just can't wave a magic wand over these problems and make them go away. Money problems that have been building for a very long time. The spending. When the spending got out of control, this is ultimately what it leads to. It's going to be tough to cut this deal for the president and the Republicans and the rest of the Democrats, too, between all three of them, really. It's a wicked dance. And are they close to an agreement on the numbers for a budget deal this year? It depends on who you talk to. I talked to somebody on the Democratic side of things earlier in the day, an off-the-record conversation. He seemed to think they were pretty close on what was going to happen, that, yeah, we're targeting certain numbers for the fiscal year, and it looks like we might be able to go a little bit deeper. Well, what does that mean? There was no specifics that he could provide for me. April 8th is the deadline. Otherwise, there's a government shutdown unless they agree to once again put a Band-Aid on it. But how many Band-Aids can you keep covering up on this budget? You can't keep doing this. The Republicans say for a deal to be reached, the White House has to make major concessions on some of the legislative riders that are attached to the budget bill. Will they be willing to do that? That's a huge question. Coming up next, we're going to talk about domestic violence. I've said this statistic before, but 1 in 3 women in their lifetime will be a victim of domestic abuse. Boy, that number's got to change. Hang with us.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally C. Why Ally C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally C. For more information and to order Ally C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally C today.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and of course we're broadcasting from coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. I think this is something, sadly, that many of you listening to me can relate to. Did you know, and we talked about this a couple of months ago, that one in every three women, a woman in the United States rather, will be a victim of domestic violence? I was stunned when I heard that when I was up there on Radio Row in New York City for that domestic violence event put on by Liz Claiborne, and we're continuing to look at what's going on in our culture. What is the deal here? And in fact, we've seen recently celebrations of acts of violence. For example, Chris Brown, the GMA scene when he was on that morning show. What's happened now with Charlie Sheen when he was acting out and chokes a call girl, as you know, in New York City. And then even looking at the Jersey Shore and what happens there with Snooki and some of the other characters on it. Joining us now, Jan Langvin. She is a domestic violence expert connected to Genesis Shelter. They do some great stuff to help women in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but I think a lot of what she has to say can reverberate around the U.S. for many of you who are listening to us, not just in Texas, but in Florida and Connecticut, et cetera. Hey, Jan, thanks for popping on ATN.
Kate, thanks for having me.
I said that to me, the one in three statistic was such a big eye-opener. It made me start to want to, talk more about this and learn more about what has happened. I didn't realize, I mean, certainly I knew domestic violence was rampant, but I guess I didn't realize one in three, that is a staggering statistic.
You know, it is. It really is, and it actually translates down to every 12 seconds. Every 12 seconds in this country, a woman is assaulted by someone she knows, by someone who tells her that he loves her, by someone who tells her that it's her fault, by someone who tells the rest of us that it's none of our business, that it's a private matter. It is absolutely staggering the frequency with which domestic violence touches the lives of women all across this country.
Yeah, and often some of it is dating domestic violence, right? It's not just husband and wife kind of things.
Right, We know that teenagers are even at higher risk. They're at high risk because many of our teenagers are growing up in violent homes, but they're also at high risk because they are beginning their own dating relationships and often don't have very good role models as to what those relationships should be like. When you look at the, you know, the music or the movies or the videos that they listen to and look at, you know, so much of it is full of hate and violence. And unfortunately, they carry that into their own relationships. We know that teenagers between the ages of 14 and 20 are at higher risk of being assaulted than an adult.
So what do you do to try to combat that? What do you do?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. You know, education is one of the most important things. Number one, to raise the level of awareness in this country with regards to not only the pervasiveness, but the effects of domestic violence. That it absolutely ripples down throughout our society and creates a society that truly is dangerous. We also know that education is not enough. We have to respond as a community with zero tolerance. We never should say it's okay. We shouldn't promote it. Not even if it's under the guise of entertainment or advertisement. We need to send messages to our elected officials, from the pulpits of our churches that we have zero tolerance for violence. And I say violence against women because at Genesis Women's Shelter in Dallas, those are the clients for whom we provide services. But there are men who are battered, and there are men who are battered by women or same-gender partners. But the dynamics are the same. The cycle is the same. We as a society currently eroticize violence. And it doesn't make someone violent, but it desensitizes us, and it can exacerbate someone who is violent, if that makes sense.
No, it completely makes sense. And, you know, in these shelters, what's happened is there's been an explosion of more shelters all over the country, thus the need, and we just were talking about the statistics there. Mm-hmm. What happens to let's say, a woman? Let's say a woman and a child go into a shelter. Then what happens to them? I'm curious about that because we don't really hear much about it. How do they get back on their feet? What do you do? What do you do at a shelter?
You know, it's as different, really, as every client who comes in our front door. What we would do, we have a 24-hour hotline that we answer 365 days a year. And when someone is appropriate to come into our shelter, meaning she doesn't live too close, we actually have to prioritize based on lethality because there is such a shortage of beds. But she's met at the front door with trained professionals who can walk beside her in her choices. You know, a lot of people think, oh, that's a homeless shelter, or I would never go to a shelter, and some women never will. But for those who have the courage to step up, what they find is a room by themselves and a meal for their children and a volunteer who wants to rock their babies and tell their children stories and a chance to breathe a sigh of relief and sleep through the night. Once women, we find that they have survived the most incredible things. Once we know that they know that they are safe, that their children know that they are safe, they begin to thrive. It's just phenomenal to watch. They would be met with a case manager who deals with immediate physical needs, like he broke my glasses or he broke my jaw or I need a protective order, or I need a job. And there's also we have master's level therapists who deal with those immediate emotional needs. I'm angry, I'm sad, I'm afraid. But this wraparound services, in addition to jobs readiness if she needs it, ESL if she needs it, access to civil legal representation. We actually at Genesis have daycare and on-site school for the kiddos. So, you know, I think shelters all across the country do the best they can with what they have, and with more and more cutbacks in funding, you know, certainly we're experiencing, you know, unfortunately cutbacks in services when the need is even greater than it ever was.
Yeah, how hard is it, because you've seen this, you're an expert in this field, how hard is it for somebody to break that cycle, to say, oh, this won't happen again, broke my jaw, but, you know, he loves me, it's all right.
Right.
How tough is it to break that cycle?
Well, to be real honest, very hard. I see it, though, it's as different. I've seen women walk up the front porch and say, he never should have hit me, and she never goes back again. I told them if he ever did, she's got that kind of inner strength. But typically, the clients who end up in our shelter have been told they're not worth anything. They're fat, they're ugly, they're stupid. So the emotional beatdown before he ever swings a punch is as destroying as the actual punch itself. So to recover back from the "I believe that I am worthless" over and above the physical injuries that she's experienced is a really, really hard thing to do. That's why it's often, people say, well, I went to my friends or my family. Well, unfortunately, friends and family get used up. They don't understand it like we understand it, or they don't have the, you know, the wherewithal. We're not emotionally involved where friends and family are sometimes. And, you know, so sometimes that's not the answer. Some women get out. Some women never get out. We also, there's another statistic I want to share with you, that only about 15% of the battered population will ever seek shelter. So that means that 85% of battered women will not reach out to a shelter. So think how crowded it is and how short the resources are now. The majority of women will not reach out to an advocate or a shelter. So what that means is we have to roll up our sleeves. We have to turn to our friends and our moms and our coworkers and our daughters and tell them that I'm afraid for you. There is help and there is hope.
Boy, no kidding. We're speaking with Jan Langbett, a domestic violence expert. Are there demographics, or, you know, is it a lot of this happen when there are out of work people, or, you know, we talked about the teenage, what we're seeing with the teenage cycle, but are there other demographics as to who are the perpetrators of domestic violence?
You know, Kate, first of all, you know, let's talk about the demographics of the victim. I think it's so easy for the majority of us to think, well, that couldn't happen to me because that victim is a certain ethnicity or from a certain economic group. But what we know is that domestic violence is an equal opportunity epidemic. It knows no boundaries. There is no such thing as a safe neighborhood when it comes to family violence. It happens in rich families. It happens in poor families, all ethnicities. So consequently, who's doing it? Abusers come in all shapes and sizes. Some are employed. Some are elected. Some are, you know, charged with protecting the safety, the peace of the community. They are doctors and lawyers and unemployed and bricklayers and police officers. So unfortunately, a little hard to spot other than ethnically or economically. And so what we have to do is watch for the red flags, whether in our teens' relationships or in our own. What are those signals that can give us a sense of something is wrong here, something is wrong?
Yeah, powerful stuff, Jan Langbett. Please, please, listening to Jan, if you're in one of these situations, reach out, get help, don't be afraid, don't be one of those statistics. 85 not reaching out, Jan, that is so sad. Let's hope we can change that number. Let's hope
there
we can change it.
There is a domestic violence national hotline, if we can share it with your listeners, 1-800-799-SAFE. And there's somebody there who can answer questions and make a difference.
All right, ring it up if you need help. Please don't be afraid to do that. Jan, thanks so much for shedding some light on this here on America Tonight.
Kate, thank you so much.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at herbalhealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at herbalhealer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Fear of falling is the number one reason seniors leave the home they love. And millions of aging Americans can no longer enjoy the pleasure of a simple bath from fear of falling. Don't leave your home. There is a solution. The revolutionary Designed for Seniors Walk-In Tub. Rediscover the soothing, luxurious pleasure of a comfortable and therapeutic bath by calling 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors walk-in tub has everything. A low step and walk-in door for easy access. Built-in heating, easy-to-reach controls with both water and air jet therapy to soothe away aches and pains. All tubs are proudly made in the USA and come with a limited lifetime warranty. Enjoy a relaxing, safe, and comfortable bath again. Call 877-513-3797 and ask for the Designed for Seniors walk-in tub. That's 877-513-3797. The Designed for Seniors walk-in tub for boomers and beyond.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Her hair is hollow gold. Her lips sweet surprise.
Coming up at the tail end of the hour here on America Tonight, odds and ends. Among the odds and ends, after the president's speech about Libya, a U.S. Navy ship fires 22 Tomahawk cruise missiles. They were aimed at weapons storage sites around Tripoli. Let's see, how much did that cost? $22 million. That's $22 million more dollars. We'll talk about the dollars and cents of Libya. And also, will the government shut down? And why should you care? And how does it affect you in your own backyard? We'll get to that. But right now, we're heading to California and Hollywood. Our Hollywood insider, he truly is an insider. He's such a gifted storyteller. He's so gifted at this. And it's such a pleasure to talk to him each and every week. Stephen Shohat. Stephen, how are you?
Oh, I'm a little bit under the weather. Kay, how are you?
I'm a little bit under the weather, too. And you know what I attribute that to? The bizarre change in the temperatures where it's one day where I am in our satellite facility. One day it's 90 degrees and the next day it's 50.
Yeah, we've had some weather changes here, too. It's not, boy, probably not that severe, but it was really cold here and it was rainy. I shouldn't say really cold. For thin-blooded Southern Californians, really cold.
There you go. Hey, last week, Liz Taylor passes away, and she was Hollywood. I mean, what a beauty in her day and all the films that she made and all the headlines that she grabbed. She won two Academy Awards. What I was surprised to learn is that the ceremony was just a very small ceremony. Were you surprised by that at all?
No, especially after there was news there might be some protesters and things like that. I wasn't surprised they'd want to keep it quiet. And I thought, even in her passing, she showed great sense of humor, being late for her own funeral, requiring that they made everybody wait. I'll tell you, there were a lot of things about her that I was surprised about. And the thing that really moved me the most that I found out after she died. Back in 1976, a time she was going through a really tough period with Richard Burton. I mean, they were about to get a divorce and fighting all the time and everything. She actually went to the Israeli government and offered herself as a hostage in exchange for the people who were on the Air France plane that was diverted by Palestinian terrorists to Uganda and led to the raid on Entebbe. And she offered herself in exchange for all the hostages, if such a thing could be done, very quietly. She didn't want any publicity. And the Israeli government really appreciated it, but they said, well, of course not, but we'll never forget this. So that, her bravery, was just, when she was married to John Warner, he wanted to bring back the draft and only for males. And she got really mad at him and said, hey, I can get into a foxhole too, she was tough as nails. And the other time was when, in 1957, Montgomery Clift was at a party at her house at her insistence because she was fighting with her husband, Michael Wilding, quite a bit. And she wanted Montgomery Clift, who was her best friend at the time, to be the referee. And he was exhausted. He didn't want to come, but finally he did it for her sake. And then he left. And people came running to the door saying, Monty's crashed. And Elizabeth Taylor ran out to see him, and it was horrible. His teeth were down his throat, and he couldn't breathe. And Elizabeth Taylor reached down his throat and pulled his teeth out, so he saved his life.
Wow.
So, yeah, so there were a lot of different things that she did. Certainly she went through periods of fear, and like after Cleopatra came out and she got bad reviews, she didn't want to leave her room for weeks. But overall, she was a tough hombre.
No kidding. As I said, she had so many films that she was in, different types of movies, too. Everybody remembers, I think if you go back in video archives, for people who are even younger listening, you can see National Velvet. I wasn't around when that came out, but I've gone back and I've seen it. What do you think was her best work? If you had to boil it down to a couple of films, what do you think was her best?
National Velvet was her favorite work, even though the studio MGM ended up giving her the horse, Prince Charles, who played the horse Pie in that movie. And then, years later, she really wanted the horse as a kid. And then years later, she told one of the producers there at MGM, I'm still feeding that blankety blank thing, and, was cursing about it. But she always said that was her favorite film. What I really like, and it's really lighthearted, is Father of the Bride and Father's Little Dividend. And I just think that's just a joyful movie to watch. I mean, I know a lot of people have seen the original. I mean, the new one with Steve Martin, but it was just really fun. And I think Elizabeth Taylor, I mean, not that she has to stretch that much in the movie, but she's perfectly cast. And she and Spencer Tracy, they got along great off the screen. And I think you can tell on the screen, at the time, Elizabeth Taylor was pretty nervous about her first marriage to Nicky Hilton. And Spencer Tracy, she didn't always get along with her real father that well, Francis Taylor. And Spencer Tracy, even though he had a lot of problems, a lot of alcoholism, and he really got along well with Elizabeth Taylor. They really hit it off, and she would ask him off camera, "Do you think I'm doing the right thing marrying Nikki?" And he was trying to comfort her, and he said, "Now, kitten, it's going to be okay." So a lot of their on-screen chemistry and match their off. off-screen chemistry and vice versa. And what I don't know if she changed her mind, but years later, Elizabeth Taylor stated that she was unable to see the remake of Father of the Bride because she just didn't want to see, even though it was a different actor, she didn't want to see Steve Martin calling, another actress Kitten in the movie because she said it would bring back too many painful memories of, losing Spencer Tracy.
Yeah, no kidding. She really was a movie star. If you had to compare Elizabeth Taylor to now, because she would be old school for a lot of people, to new school, who kind of embodies the Liz Taylor kind of thing? Is there any young actresses you think that kind of fill that fill her shoes, sort of?
I don't really know. That's a really tough one. Because she could act. She definitely had acting chops, but, she wasn't trained at all. I mean, she said, when she started off, it was like her earliest co-stars were like Lassie and Pie the Horse. So she said, but those were my best leading men were dogs and horses. And then what really, who really helped her was Montgomery Clift in the movie A Place in the Sun, and she really studied him, and that's when she really started to understand the camera. And even though Richard Burton was a classically trained actor, when they were married, she was able to give him advice on how to deal with the camera and things like that. So she had a she had a movie star's sense, if that makes it any sense, that even though she had no training, she knew where the camera was. And I can't think of somebody today that's exactly like her. And obviously there's nobody exactly like her, but with that much presence and power, the one you can watch, you can watch a lot of videos of her. You can watch the one where she appeared on Here's Lucy and with Lucille Ball, and she and Richard Burton were there. And even just walking into the room, you could just see she's just got so much charisma that she doesn't even have to do anything. The same when she appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. I mean, you're hanging on her every word. And it's interesting because people said she wasn't that well-read of a person, when she was younger. All she cared about was movies. People would say things like, she doesn't understand math. She counts on her fingers, things like that. Well, that might be true, but she ended up a billionaire with that perfume business. And she also ended up owning 45% of the movie Around the World in 80 Days after her third husband, Mike Todd, unfortunately died. But to answer your question, I'll have to cop out. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head who has that Elizabeth Taylor presence.
I was thinking, but she is different than Liz Taylor, but Angelina Jolie. The way men react to her anyway, I would say Angelina Jolie has that jaw-dropping men fall on the floor over her kind of thing anyway.
Well, yeah. As far as attractiveness, yeah. I mean, Angelina Jolie, I'm sure people find her, I guess it's a matter of taste, but I'm sure people find her just as attractive. She does, yeah. I guess that would be a good one. She does have a ravishing, kind of a ravishing look. I think Angelina Jolie probably has more versatility than Elizabeth Taylor, with all her movies. But Elizabeth Taylor is just a fine, fine actress and just understood where the camera was. Another story with her, when she was making the movie Cat on the Hot Tin Roof with Paul Newman, they were going to make that movie in black and white, and Warner Brothers decided that the eyes of Elizabeth Taylor and Paul Newman were so striking, it had to be in color.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That says something, doesn't it?
yeah. And where do you find, that's one thing is eyes. I don't know if they have anybody today that has those type of eyes that you just want to watch every second up there on the big screen. So she's definitely, iconic for a reason. She's, I noticed the last few days, at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood. Tons of people are coming over to take pictures of her handprints and footprints, and maybe she'll become as iconic in her passing as Marilyn Monroe is.
Yeah, perfect way to end this. Stephen, quickly tell us how we can get a hold of a copy of Hollywood Stories. It's a great read for everyone who doesn't know it.
Yeah, Hollywood Stories is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The website's hollywoodstories.com. Over 1,000 anecdotes about movie stars, producers, directors. And hollywoodstories.com is the best way to find out all about it.
Stephen, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, 3 Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
What major golf tournament is played every year in the same place in a race for the coveted green jacket? That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Juicy Juice, 100% juice, providing a full serving of fruit in every 4 ounces. Visit us at juicyjuice.com. When it comes to nutrition, kids need both fruits and vegetables every day to stay healthy and grow. For the ideal mix, your kids should have at least 1.5 cups of any veggie or 100% veggie juice, and 1 cup of any fruit or 100% fruit juice a day. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
The Masters is one of 4 major championships played in men's professional golf each year. The tournament dates back to 1934 and has always been played at the Augusta National Golf Club and by invitation only. The hallowed land that Augusta has become was chosen by the legendary golfer Bobby Jones, who retired from the sport and wanted to have an architect build a course, which is exactly what Alistair McKenzie did, although he didn't live to see the first Masters tournament. Since 1949, the winners have received a green jacket given to them by the previous year's winner of the tournament at Butler Cabin. Jack Nicklaus has won the tournament six times, his last in 86 at the age of 46 years old. Tiger Woods and Arnold Palmer have won it four times. Most of us have only watched the Masters on television. People who have walked the course and watched feel lucky, as it's the toughest ticket in sports to get. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. America Tonight, the name of this show. I said we were going to kick around some odds and ends, and a lot of that includes what's happening in D.C. That's where we started here at the beginning of the hour. And the reason why is you do care what's happening in our nation's capital, because wherever you are, you have representation, and you want your representation to represent you, right? Meaning your Congress folks and senators. The easiest thing to do if you're not happy with what's going on is to pick up the phone and make a call. Take you a couple of seconds, easy to find the numbers, to look up whoever it is, and just do it. For example, if there is a government shutdown, and you hear different things on this. Now that April 8th is the day, if it gets extended one more time, meaning if the budget isn't agreed upon and they have to do another extension, right, what then where do we go from there? And the answer is, if there's a shutdown, it could be longer than the last time, which was in the 90s, remember, during the Clinton years, meaning 6 days, meaning don't believe it if you think your Social Security checks, if you happen to be in that crowd, are going to get there on time, because the processing will stop. Those offices will not be open. That's just a tiny little portion of some of the people. An example of some of the people that will be affected by the government shutdown. If they can't, the discussions are failing. They can't agree even over where to begin. So there's pressure galore. There's all these standoffs. And we're talking about, you know, the Obama administration is talking about a new budget proposal that's trying to meet the House Republicans halfway, they're saying, cutting the initial budget request by about $70 billion. There's real problems here. I mean, seriously, there is real problems here. Let's go to Michelle in New York. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Kate?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I got booted, and I overheard I just got in your room. You're talking about domestic violence, and I heard some of it. And I was one of those women that was abused, and there's a lot of hope for us, yes. So I wanted to
Let me ask you this, Michelle. This could help other people that are in this situation, because we were talking specifically about the fact that I said the shocking thing was one in three women in the country will be abused in their lifetime, and here only 15% will actually seek help. In your case, did you go and get help? How did you get out of the situation?
Well, geez, I remember being abused. I don't know. I was married for 20 years, and it's been going on for a long time. But I don't know why it took me so long. But the physical abuse didn't start towards the end of my marriage. And I decided to call Crisis Hotline, because I felt like something wasn't right, and I'm unhappy with my husband, and I was telling him the things that were happening and how things, like, it took things away, and I remember abuse throwing me on the floor and all these kinds of things that were happening to me. And, you know, I guess I was so used to abuse. I didn't think I was, or, I mean, I knew I was, but you're just used to it.
Right.
And I called Crisis Hotline, and I talked to a woman, and she goes, well, we have a woman's support group on Thursday. So I'm like, no, it's not really happening to me. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't. I was having those thoughts. And
right.
I went to the support group, and it was awesome. It was awesome. I went every Thursday. It was just counseling. We talked to lots of women about their problems, and it doesn't matter how little abused you are or big abuse. It doesn't matter. Abuse is abuse, and there's help out there. I think it should be, but the word isn't out there as it should, because it's not just physical abuse. There's tons of
mental abuse. Yeah. Yeah, wow, I'm glad you shared your story here on the air. And you're out of that situation now, right? So it got you. Yeah, good for you. Bravo.
Yes.
It got you to realize that you didn't have to put up with that. And like you said, you couldn't tell, and was this right? And that's what a lot of women say. I'm so glad you called, Michelle. And I want to tell everybody, thanks for sharing that. And good luck to you, and we appreciate it. And I want to share with everybody something here that we were just talking about. Let me give you the 800 number. If like Michelle, see, she, for 20 years, she just thought that some of that was acceptable. Call this number. If you're having thoughts that, wow, this isn't right, call 800-799-7233, 800-799-7233. And just like she says, you can certainly change your life. No doubt about it. You do not have to stay in that type of situation. And anything we can do on America Tonight, that's certainly one of the flags of awareness we hope that we can raise and more people will pay attention to. As Michelle said, people just don't realize. A lot of people don't realize what's going on out there, I guess. All right, speaking of what's going on out there, jumping back to odds and ends, Muammar Gaddafi's forces are just hammering rebels with tanks and rockets and trying to flip around their advance into a retreat. And there was a couple hour long battles on Tuesday. The U.S. lobbed 22 Tomcats off of a Navy ship. Are we in this situation where we're going to see a stalemate, or will something eventually change with Gaddafi? Remember, in the Iraq situation with Saddam Hussein, we saw what happened after the Gulf War, and that took a very long time. Let's hope we don't see the same thing happening in Libya, since no matter what, 22% of our money is NATO. So we are NATO, so we are involved in this. We were part of that missile barrage that I just talked about. And this after the president's speech and the supposed handoff. There is no direct handoff, trust me. There is no direct handoff on this one. Absolutely not. I always say you can send me your thoughts at americatonight.net, and I welcome all those thoughts. Got an interesting thing here. Quickly, I'll say this. I got this note from PJ, who's listening to us at WVMT in Vermont, and he asked the question, with Medicare and the Medicare prices, does that mean, with Medicare on the rise, does it mean that we're not going to see any increases like we saw in this situation, of course, with Social Security? Because you got millions of people who are retired in the U.S., and they've probably got a brace for another year with no increase in Social Security payments. So if that happens, because this is all related to the budget, which is what he asked the question of and what I was talking about earlier, with the budget the way it is, probably you're talking about not another increase. So that means, wow, 3 years. You have rising Medicare premiums, and that would certainly, if there even was an increase, would probably wipe out that increase anyway. Wow, 3 straight years. That would affect about 45 million people. 1 in 7 in the country get Medicare and Social Security. Something to think about.